This is a sermon from Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Learn more at wdmcovenant.org.
The scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, Mark 10:17-31, found on page 56 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles, or it is also on the screen. Please read along with me. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age. Houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I ran into Jesus this week, which is inconvenient on a number of levels, partly because I was working on a sermon at the time, and it's really rude of him to come and interrupt when I'm trying to do things. Well, I was interrupted, among other reasons, to answer a request for financial help, and it took me until the next day to realize the irony of this. So, mea culpa. Now, you know that I err on the side of generosity when I am asked for help. So I've talked before about all of the sort of ambiguity and discernment that goes into trying to sort out how am I going to respond. But I took that opportunity. Again, I erred on the side of generosity. And the difficulty for me as I err on the side of generosity there is that I really want to be in control of the money that I give to folks who are in need. And I also, that whole interruption thing, right? I really want to be in control of what I'm doing at any given moment. And so often, it turns out that I'm not. So I try to err on the side of generosity because I know from experience that I rarely regret it, and I didn't regret it this time either. But this is on my mind as I prepare to talk about this encounter that a rich man had with Jesus, an encounter not so unlike what St. Martin experienced in his encounter with Jesus that I talked about with the kids. I think about this encounter and this request as an encounter with Jesus because that's part of what Jesus is getting at in the gospel story today. This rich man came to Jesus with a question, and he came with the question. Now, the words of his question were, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" Which, if you sort of rephrase that question, it's still accurate to think of him as saying, "Hey, what do I have to do to get closer to God? What do I have to do to recognize God in the present moment of my own life?" Now, again, think about the irony of this. Someone comes to God incarnate looking for God and asks him where God might be found, right? So Jesus comes with this, Jesus is confronted with this question, what do I have to do to be closer to God? What do I have to do to be part of what God is doing in the world? What do I need to do to know God's presence in the world? And then you followed that conversation where Jesus turned back to the tablets of the law, the Ten Commandments. Here are the commandments that God has given, and the young person says, sorry, he's traditionally a young person, it's nowhere in the text. The person of means says, "Yes, I've done all those things." And Jesus says, "Okay, there's one more thing. We'll get to that one more thing. Don't worry about that." Now, here's where we are as we meet this particular rich person. We are in the middle of this three-week series of stories. Last week was from Matthew's gospel. Today we're in Mark. Next week we'll be in Luke. I know you've been waiting for that. Where Jesus is talking about storing up treasure in heaven. That's the common theme that links these three stories together. And they're all about money. They're all about how we relate to money and the resources that we have in this world. And they're all about how we do something eternal with these temporal means and resources that we have. So the intention for this particular little three-week series is to give us a moment to talk a little bit about money without asking for money. It is my intention not to ask you for money today. Instead, I want to talk about that other 90-plus percent, sometimes it's very much in the high 90s percent, of the money that you have decisions to make about, of the money that you use as you go through the world. Now, we talk about money not because of anything particularly special about money, but because of what it does in our lives. Money is something that makes a difference for us because it's a thing we have to make decisions about. It is kind of where the rubber meets the road in terms of how our faith is going to play itself out. Because there are all kinds of things that we can say good stuff about. But when it comes down to making a decision, what am I going to do with what I have? What am I going to invest myself in? Money is one of those places where that choice becomes crystal clear for us. And so we're reading these three gospel stories about treasure in heaven. This week I'm going to talk about heaven, and I promise you're not going to like it. Last week I talked about where we put our trust, which is another piece of what money means in our lives, and I imagine you didn't like that either, but thank you for showing up again. When I'm perfectly honest, where I put my trust is usually in whatever it is I can do. I usually trust what I can do, what I can decide, what I can make decisions about, more than I trust much of anything else, certainly more than I trust what God is going to do in the world, because that's sort of big and ethereal and strange and uncertain, and I know what I can do. I sometimes know a little bit more than what I can do, but that's a whole different question. This rich person who comes to meet Jesus trusts in what he can do as well, and he's done a whole lot. Remember, Jesus said, okay, you know all the commandments, right? And this rich person says, yes, and I've kept all the commandments. I'm good with all the commandments. Let's just take him at his word on that, okay? He's got this faithful heart seeking after God that has done everything it can do to live according to the covenant that God has given, and yet his heart is still seeking after God. And so Jesus points to the one thing that he hasn't done. The one thing that he hasn't done is to let go of what he has. Jesus says, this one little thing is missing. Go and sell everything you have and give the money to the poor and come and follow me. The one thing he hasn't yet been able to do is to really put his trust in God on that day-to-day basis. So today I want to talk about whether we can even do that. I want to talk about whether it's even possible for us to put our trust in God on a day-to-day basis like that. Can we really sell everything we have and give it to the poor and come and follow Jesus? And if so, the real question, should we? Is that a thing we really ought to do? Because we know exactly why not to, right? You and your financial planner know exactly why not to sell everything you have, give it all to the poor, and come and follow Jesus. Because people need safety nets. We need something to fall back on. The Lord will provide is not a very good retirement plan. We resist doing this. We resist putting our trust in God on that day-to-day basis. And Jesus is asking this person for a very, very lot, right? So if you give even just a tiny portion toward what Jesus asks this person to give, you're in great shape here. But we resist doing this because we imagine that our purpose in life, we imagine that the thing we have to do in life is to be self-sufficient. We imagine that part of what we have to do, part of like our responsibility to the community around us, is not to become dependent on other people. We imagine that it is like our job to control our own destiny. And that's where money becomes a really important tool for controlling what will happen in our lives and having our own safety net to fall back on. And so much of what we do give and what we don't give comes with the idea that we should be in control. And I suspect that's what this rich person would lose if he took Jesus up on this invitation to go sell everything he has and give it to the poor and come follow Jesus. The thing he would lose is the ability to be in control of his own life, because he would then be depending on someone else. And he might not have enough, and he certainly wouldn't have enough to be in control. But you all read this passage just a second ago, and with your photographic recall of this scripture reading, you know that I have skipped a really important phrase in what Jesus said to this person who came to him with this question. Jesus said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me, and we'll get to that whenever, right? But go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. So this is remarkable on a couple of levels. The first level on which this is remarkable is that someone asked Jesus a question, and he answered it. That by itself is like a miracle, right? And Jesus gave a really simple answer, right? If you give all your treasure to the poor, you will have treasure where? In heaven. So if you're looking for heaven, where is it?
Here.
And a specific kind of here among the poor. Here among the poor. If you want to invest yourself in heaven, if you want to invest yourself in eternal life, if you want to invest yourself in the presence of God in the world, the place to invest yourself is among the poor, among those who are in need. Now, We know that God is more places than just one or just one group of people. We know that God can be anywhere God chooses to be and is most of those places all the time, right? But Jesus tells us something particular here, that there's a particular place where God most chooses to be, and that is among the poor. Not because the poor are more pious than all the rest of us, they aren't necessarily, but rather because people in need are constantly calling us to generously share God's self-giving love in the world. People in need are the ones who are always able to tell just exactly where our hearts happen to be. God chooses to live among the poor because that is a way for God to demonstrate God's covenant faithfulness. God has made covenant promises to all of humanity, that all of creation, really, that all that we need can be provided. And so God chooses to go live in the place where all that we need needs to go. God chooses to live among the poor as a way of calling us to invest ourselves in people who are in need, and to do that in relationship with them. God doesn't just tell us, hey, go over there and take care of that person for me, right? Jesus is actually saying, and Jesus says in other places even more explicitly than this, hey, if you go find the people who are in need and share with them, you are literally sharing with me. So this rich person, he may have already given to the poor, right? He may already have been very generous up to whatever the prescribed amount was, or maybe he's given to the poor up to the amount that he, the rich person, believed the poor truly needed. And then Jesus asked for much, much more than that. Jesus asked not just for giving, but Jesus asked for a relationship. Jesus asked for this rich person to actually cast his lot completely with those who were in need, to see them, to hear them, to listen to them. And this means that he has to let go of control, right? As long as it's his stuff, he's got all the control in this situation. But if he gives away what he has, then he no longer has control over it. It's just like when we, in partnership with our sister community in El Salvador, allow them to set the terms of the conversation and allow them to determine what it is they need and how they would like to invite us to be part of meeting their needs and developing their community. It's present in the way that we allow those who are poor right here in West Des Moines to name their needs in part by coming to say, hey, here's what I need today, and I try really hard to take that more or less at face value, because that's a way of acknowledging that I'm not the one who's in control here, but rather Jesus is the one who is in control here. Jesus calls us to see heaven among the poor as a way of inviting us to take at least some of our direction from those who are in need, to take at least some of our direction from those who actually need what it is we have to share, to entrust some of our treasure to those who are especially where God lives. Jesus promises that this is faithful. He promises that this is possible because God is there, because God is present among those we can serve, because that is where heaven is. And God is faithful. God is trustworthy with that control that we can offer to God in that way. This rich man was invited to remove his treasure from his own control by storing it up somewhere else, by giving it away. And it seems impossible to him, and it seems impossible to Jesus' disciples. And they say, how is it possible that anyone can be saved? And Jesus says, yeah, you can't do this. But with God, anything is possible. God can do even this. God can transform our hearts, can change our lives, can open up our relationship with the money and the resources that we have, so that we can recognize God's presence in and among our neighbors, in the world in which we live, right here and right now. God makes it possible by transforming us into people of community who can depend on each other because we don't only have to depend on ourselves. God is able to transform our hearts so that we can give more than we ever knew we could, and makes it possible to trust even in the midst of this world. And that's how Jesus invited me to touch heaven a little bit this week. Thanks be to God. Amen.